Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Allie Alley, and here in the studio I have Paul Rubin, the executive director of Camp Good Morning. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So tell us, what is Camp Good Morning?
So Camp Good Morning is a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Huntington for Long Island children who are coping with the loss of a parent and or sibling.
Wow. So when did this idea come about?
So I had been doing a lot of grief work, working with kids with cancer and their siblings, and also taking part in other bereavement camps. And there wasn't something here on Long Island that really encompassed everything that I had seen that was out there. So over the last 18 years, I've kind of taken everything that was all the good stuff from other camps that I thought were really, really good, and combined all of those into one, and I added some new wrinkles. We let go some of the stuff that wasn't really a good fit for us, and that's how Camp Good Morning came about.
Was there a particular story that inspired this camp?
Well, I think, you know, one of the stories that, and it was the very first time that I was a big buddy. We call them big buddies, volunteers, who are paired one-to-one with a child. It was my very first experience in a bereavement camp, a New Jersey bereavement camp, and I was paired one-to-one with a 9/11 child. And this child had lost their, unfortunately, they'd lost their dad in the World Trade Center, who he had worked at Windows on the World. And it was a very, anytime you go to a bereavement camp, it's very emotional, it's physically exhausting, but it's also so very rewarding. And working with this child, you know, he was very, very quiet. He was very introverted. And he really didn't say much over the weekend. But I remember when it came the end of the weekend and it was time for him to go, and his mom wasn't able to pick him up. So they sent a town car. The camp got a town car for the child. And as we were, you know, walking with him towards the town car, as he got to the door, he slowly turned around and he walked back to me and he gave me a hug around my waist. And my heart just kind of melted right there. It really was hard to kind of keep it all together. And that was kind of the seed that kept me going through the last 16 years, because that was back in 2004. And that was one of the stories, just one of many stories that have come about that kind of propelled me to create Camp Good Morning.
Yeah, it's definitely a good feeling of giving back.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. You know, many times, and I've, again, over the years, worked with so many volunteers, and the one thing that I hear them say a lot is, I came here wanting to give so much, but I feel I got much more. Mm. And it's almost like a guilty feeling. But it's a really good thing, because then they get that it fills up their cup and they're able to give some more back. So volunteers that do have a good experience tend to come back often.
Right. And how does this camp in particular differ from other camps like of the similar nature?
Sure. So we're the only Long Island bereavement camp that has an overnight component. So we're a weekend overnight camp. And the reason why the overnight component is so important is because of the building bonds and forging friendships. So when kids go home, if it's a day camp and they go home, then there's that disconnect. So they go back home, they get on their cell phones and they play games and they do the things that they do at home. But here at camp, they're able to stay connected with all the new friends that they're making. And that's critical. So that was one of the things that I brought into this camp. The second thing is that we do not operate in the summertime. We operate in the spring and the fall. And the reason for that is that we don't want to duplicate services. We want to fill in the gaps. So we provide them in the spring and the fall, and our very first inaugural camp, which is coming up June 5th, happens in the spring, and then we'll have another one in the fall. And again, since we have one in the spring and the fall, that means that we offer more than one camp. Another unique feature, because all the other camps offer one. Now, you know, I have given out the resources for those other camps because I think they're wonderful. And I think anytime children can get support in this nature, it's a really, really good thing, because I'm not sure how many of your listeners are aware of the statistic that 1 in 7 children experience the death of a parent and or sibling mm-hmm. by the age of 20.
Wow.
So if you think about that number in a school district, I had done a presentation in the Elmont School District, and they have about 3,500 kids in their schools. And when you do the math, 1 in 7, that's 500 children who are grieving. So think about either an auditorium, think about a gym filled with 500 kids, and you're standing in the bleachers. You don't really see the faces. You don't zone in on one, but you look at the mass.
Right.
And that's what kind of, I think, is really hard to think about, is that they're nameless, faceless kids who are grieving in their own way, and we just want to provide a way to help and support them.
I'm sure the grieving process is different for all the children who come to camp, but what is the general process like for a child coming to camp here?
So, you know, as you said, every child's process is very unique. It's as unique as a fingerprint, and it really depends on their relationship with their loved one. So, you know, their process is their process. We support them along with that process. To give you a specific grieving process, there isn't one. You know, you hear about the 5 stages, you hear about 6 stages. The stages, which were done by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, was really something that was done. It was a study that was done for people who were dying. So it wasn't necessarily for people after they were dying. And she had a conversation with these people who were unfortunately dying, and she came up with these five stages. But grief is not linear. It doesn't, you don't go from A to B to C to D. You can go from A to C to B to D, and you can do it over again. So again, it's very unique to each child, and we can't predict, so to speak, what a child is going to go through.
Right, and that's absolutely normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned the camp is a weekend. So tell me about what it is like for a kid coming to camp the first day and then when they leave.
Sure. Well, kids will come with their parents on a Friday afternoon. And after they do all the registration stuff, we'll get into some big activities, some team builders, and it's all fun, silly stuff. So, you know, I always encourage volunteers. In fact, it's almost like a prerequisite that you come with your silly stuff. This is not a place where you get stuffy. It's not your 9 to 5. This is a place where we're there for the kids. And we have to keep in mind that kids will model what we do. So if we kind of standoffish, if we're kind of standoffish, then they're going to mimic that and they're not going to get involved. So from the very, very beginning, we get everybody, you know, the full camp involved with just very, very silly team builders. And then we'll go into something called powwows, which are support groups. And we have 4 of those over the weekend. And so we focus on 4 main themes, but the talk is open to anything that the children or the teens bring up. But the 4 things that we focus on are, number 1, sharing their grief story, because most children don't have the opportunity to share their grief story from beginning to end. And again, as we talked about before, it's very, very unique for each child. So someone who had a parent who unfortunately died from cancer, that parent may have gone into the hospital, had treatment, come back home, and then had a reoccurrence, and then had to go back into the hospital. So there may have been a very long process over many years, which is opposed to someone who perhaps died in a car accident or died by suicide, which is very, you know, either way, it's trauma, but it's very different. So that's one thing that the kids get to do. The second thing that they have the opportunity to do is to identify and explore their feelings. And we don't just do that through talk. We do that through activities, through games, because kids love games. Mm-hmm. And we can help them to express themselves through those games in a fun way. So again, it's not a sit down and like a school classroom sort of thing. The third thing that we talk about is how to identify those healthy as well as unhealthy coping skills. And the last thing that we kind of discuss, that we focus on, is how do we stay connected to our loved ones even though that they're gone? Mm-hmm. And just as important, how do we stay connected to our new camp friends? Because once they go home, they're not going to have the support, that 24/7 support that they get at camp. So we want to give them a head start, so that this community bonding and building that we do, not only at camp but before camp, because we introduce the kids to other kids before that, mm-hmm. That at least they have the opportunity to do that. This is all intentional because we want them to go home knowing that they can always reach out to another friend, or the parent can reach out to another parent, and it could be as simple as going out for pizza, maybe going to a movie. It could be anything that they want it to be. It's really up to them. The one thing that I did want to share is that the other way that we're different from other camps is that we're going to have a simultaneous parent camp. So in 2021, our goal is to have a camp where children come to the camp and the parents come to the same exact camp. The children go to one part of the campus, the adults go to another part of the campus, and they get support in their own way.
Wow.
So, yeah, because we know that when there's a parent death, there's a surviving parent who's grieving.
Right.
And, you know, it's really hard for them. We're talking about, you know, they could there could be a loss of income if it's a dual income family. They may have had to move to different accommodations because they may not be able to afford whatever they were in. So that means that there's another loss. If they do make that move, then perhaps it's to another school district. So now the children have to make new friends. So there's a lot of stuff that a parent has to, you know, has to kind of maneuver around and navigate. And again, we want to provide them with support. So not only will they get it from their peers, from other parents in their group, but hopefully they'll be able to keep in touch with those people that they met long after camp is over.
Right. And I can imagine the grief from a parent, between a child and their parent, and then parent to parent is a little different. So how does grief from adult and child differ?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So children are unable to stay in their grief. They can stay in it for a little bit, but then they can get very, very fidgety, or they need to do something different. And so we model camp after the way children grieve. So it's kind of like a roller coaster, if you think about it that way, whereas adults can stay in their grief and they process it differently. So a child is going, you know, a 7-year-old child is not going to process grief the same way an adult does. In the same way, a 13-year-old is not going to process grief the same way an 8-year-old does. So through every developmental level, a child grieves differently and they're going to reprocess their grief. Whereas adults, they've gone through that developmental process and, you know, they may come across new things as they move through their grief. But for the most part, it's not changing that often as with kids.
Right. So how does one, apply to be part of this camp?
Yeah, that's great because we're actually accepting campers as well as volunteers right now. The best way is to just simply go to our website, which is Camp Good Morning, MOURNING. So it's not like the morning in the AM, but it's morning as in grief. Campgoodmorning.org. You can look at the very, very top of the homepage. There'll be a link at the top that says camper/volunteer applications. That's one way that they can do it. They can also just reach out to us if they have any questions via email. That's also on the website, and there's also a telephone number. So there's many different ways that a camper or a volunteer. In fact, we've provided many presentations in school districts. So if your child hasn't heard about us, please ask your PPS departments at your schools to invite us in because we're happy to do that. We don't charge anything. This is something that we do because we know that there's such a need for it. And we go back to those numbers, 1 in 7 children.
Right.
So that's one of the ways that people can find out about us.
And for volunteers, what can volunteers expect from coming to camp? What can they do?
So there are many different opportunities for volunteers. One is as a big buddy, and I don't recall if I stated before, but they're paired one-to-one with a camper. So every single volunteer who comes in will be paired with their own camper for the entire weekend, and their responsibility is to that camper. And the application process for that for any volunteer is a long one because we are, you know, we have to think about the children. They're our highest priority. So a volunteer will fill out an application. They will, they'll get something back from us, and then there'll be some more information. They'll have to go through a training both in person and online. And finally, there will be a background check, both state, or I guess it's a threefold, state, federal, and sex registry. We do vet our volunteers as much as we can, just to make sure that, you know, we want the best fit for our children. Some of the other, opportunities for volunteers is as a powwow leader. As I mentioned before, powwows are like support groups. So those would be clinicians like social workers, psychologists, school counselors, mental health counselors who have quite a bit of grief experience behind them. And that's also, you know, through an application. That'll be an interview either via Skype or in person. We encourage them to come to our training as well, and also the one online. So that's something. And there's also all the stuff behind the scenes that nobody really sees. Mm-hmm. And that's super important, because those are the people that keep camp moving smoothly. You know, I've been in front of the scenes a lot over my 18 years, and taking on this role as executive director, I've really been enlightened to everything that goes on behind the scenes. And I can tell you that without these individuals, without these volunteers, and I call all of our volunteers very important volunteers, because they all are, without them and without everybody else, we cannot run camp, because this is 100% volunteer-based.
And this is a free camp, correct?
This is a free camp. So the kids and their families don't pay anything. So everything that we do is through sponsors or in-kind donations and grants. We've been very fortunate, and we have Investors Bank, and we have Sylvan Learning and Huntington and Mineola. We have the Lords of 52nd Street. For those of you who aren't aware of them, they're Billy Joel's original band. Mm. And they were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2014. They were the very, very first group that came and backed us up. They invite us to their concerts. We table their concerts. The last time at the Suffolk Theater, which was the Christmas concert for Carol Silva, they actually met with one of our campers and our camper mom. So, you know, we're very, very grateful for everyone who comes into our quote-unquote family and supports us.
It seems like a great thing to be a part of. What's that volunteer page again?
Sure. So it's campgoodmorning.org. And if you look at the very, very top, there's a black strip that goes across. Within that black strip, there's a link, and it'll say camper/volunteer applications.
Perfect. And when and where does camp take place?
So camp takes place on Shelter Island June 5th through June 7th. So it's the full weekend. So parents will be given a packing list, but it's beautiful. It's very, when they get to Greenport or Sag Harbor, the only way to get there is through a ferry. And that ferry is about 10 minutes, but it's very, very metaphorical for kind of leaving everything behind, because it's such a peaceful 10 minutes over on that ferry. And it really kind of, it's like a new beginning. And it's just a wonderful weekend for the kids.
So I'm sure coming to camp is a very amazing experience, but I'm sure it's also probably very sad, right?
You know, there it does get sad. You know, I'm not going to lie about it. But here's the great thing about camp is that because we, you know, it's based on the way children grieve, we go from highs to lows and highs to lows and lows to highs. So, for example, we could be coming out of something like a powwow, which is a support group, which we could be talking about some pretty heavy stuff. And then maybe we'll go to our bonfire, or we'll go to dinner, and then we'll go to our bonfire, which is all about silly camp songs and doing repeat after me songs and having s'mores, because we do s'mores. And we're talking about 150 people toasting their marshmallows and getting gooey chocolate and just having a great time. And then after that, we kind of settle down a little bit. And, you know, throughout camp, we give kids the opportunity to honor their loved ones in different ways at different times. So it's never just once. We give them multiple opportunities. And one of these times is during our bonfire, which is a really kind of a sacred ceremony, where each group, which is developmentally appropriate, so it's like 7 and 8s, 9s and 10s, 11s to 13s, that sort of thing. Group by group, they'll circle the bonfire, and prior to coming to bonfire, they'll be given everybody. So this is not just the children, this is not just the campers, this is even the big buddies. Mm-hmm. They'll get an index card, and on that index card, they're instructed to either write something to their loved one, something that they want to say to them. It could, you know, if they don't feel like doing that, they can just create a drawing, If they don't want to do that, they don't have to do anything. It's always their choice. And that's the great thing about coming to camp. We don't force them to do anything. We don't force them to talk. So everything is participation by choice. So when they get that index card and they fold it up into quarters and they circle the bonfire, one by one, they have an opportunity to honor their loved one by tossing it into the campfire and saying, you know, this is in memory of my mom, could be a memory of my brother, Joe. And frequently with the children, it'll be just one person. Mm-hmm. But when you start getting to the big buddies, we're starting to hear my parents, my grandparents, my aunt. And what this does, how this helps kids, and this is super important, it helps to normalize their grief. Because when they come together for the first time at camp, they're recognizing that there's a camp full of kids who are exactly like that, who are exactly like them. Mm-hmm. And they never experience that, or they rare, I shouldn't say never, but they rarely experience that outside of camp. So we have these really fun things that happen that are interwoven with some of the more serious stuff. But the most important thing is that kids come to camp because they can recognize that they're not the only ones, and they get support, and they hear it from their peers, which are other kids, and they hear it from the big buddies. So, camp isn't just sad. It is also a lot of fun.
Nice. Is there any story from Camp Good Morning that stands out to you?
Not yet, but we're expecting many because this is our inaugural camp. But one of the things that we are doing, we're having a fundraiser coming up, which we're inviting potential campers and their parents to gather. And it was created by Julie Schmidlap, who unfortunately lost her husband about 2 years ago through a 9/11 related lung disease. Mm-hmm. And he left behind three boys. And she had come to one of our open houses, and she was very quiet throughout the open house. But then she left for a little bit, and then she came back about 5 or 10 minutes later. And she said, you know what, I have to do something. This is the first time that I felt a spark in my life in the last 2 years. And we talked a little bit, we talked about what she would like to do, because that's really important. It's not what we want. Mm-hmm. It's what, you know, our volunteers, you know, if we can give them what they want to get out of it, we're happy to do that. And she had recommended a bowling fundraiser. And we said, sure, what can we do to help you? And so within about a week, she had it all booked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's those kind of stories that come up frequently. We also have another volunteer who got involved, and she had lost her husband about 15 years ago, leaving behind a 6 and an 8-year-old. Mm. And she had to bring them up all on her own. And she has become one of our most dedicated volunteers. So we talk about stories, an inspiring story. These are those stories. Mm-hmm. Because they're changing lives, because now they all want to give back because of what was given to them. Mm-hmm. That's going to be happening, that bowling fundraiser. It's the first annual Keith Schmidlap fundraiser. It's happening February 29th at Farmingdale Lanes. That link is also on our website. Just look on that in that same black strip. It'll say bowling fundraiser. And it's $30 per person, $120 for a team of four. And there's opportunities for lane sponsorships and lots of raffle baskets and 50-50s. It's going to be a blast because it's very family oriented, just the way that Julie's husband, Keith, liked it.
It's taking grief and turning it into something positive.
It is. It's unfortunately, it's bittersweet because we'll always have our grief. Right. It'll always be there. And the way I explain grief sometimes is like, imagine being on a spaceship and blasting off from Earth. And there's a rear view mirror, if you could imagine something like that. And as you get further and further away from Earth, the Earth gets a little bit smaller, but it's always there.
Right.
So our grief changes over time. We don't lose sight of it. We'll always have those memories, and anything can trigger that grief.
And you mentioned those events. Is there anything else coming up in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, we're looking at a several events. They're all in the works. So it's nothing specific, but what I do recommend is for people, if they want to stay in the loop with us, there's a couple of ways to do that. One is always you can go to our website, which is campgoodmorning.org. On our website, you'll get the nuts and bolts about camp. It'll explain everything that you want to know. But where you get the daily dose of Camp Good Morning is on our Facebook and Instagram pages. So we update our Facebook page pretty much every single day. So whenever something new happens, or if we have, you know, a meme that we put up, or we also have a dedicated Facebook page for just volunteers. So we don't inundate everybody with our volunteer opportunities. We just have, you know, and we have close to 1,700 followers on Facebook, which is pretty good. Our first year and a half was simply about creating awareness, and we've done a pretty good job with that.
Okay, great. And if someone listening wants to send their child to Camp Good Morning, or if someone wants to sponsor, just give us that information one more time.
Sure. So we're always appreciative of businesses or individuals who either want to sponsor in-kind donations. We have a wish list. They can simply reach out to us at campgoodmorning.org. And again, that's campgoodmorning, MOURNING.org. You can send us, you can inbox us. You can reach us through Facebook. I guarantee somebody usually gets back within 24 hours, usually much quicker than that, because anybody that reaches out, we know that they're doing this because it touches them in some way, and we want to acknowledge that.
This is something that's so very important. So thank you for coming in and talking to us about it.
You bet. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Of course. Thanks, guys, for listening to Plugged into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.